What's up, y'all? It is Mike Pierce, a.k.a. Mike the Movie Guy, along with my host. I got Amy McCracken. What's going on?
Nothing much. I'm excited to be talking about the finale
of
Sleepy Hollow. I cannot wait.
Here we are. Here we are. It is Variety Radio Online, and one of the shows that we talk about is Sleepy Hollow, and of course they had like a two-hour season finale last night, Monday, on Fox, and so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the first episode, which was called The Indispensable Man, and then we're going to finish it off with Bad Blood, the two-hour Fox excitement. Don't forget, people, if you're in this chat room, we're doing it live right now, you can always get into the chat room and chat with us. All you got to do is scroll up to the top where you see where it says login, and I believe you can log in through your Facebook, your Twitter, your LinkedIn. Am I missing anything, Amy?
Nope. I think there's a sign up. Don't go to the sign up. Go to the login, because if you're signing up, it's going to ask you to do all this other crap. Just go to log in, and then you can sign in with your Facebook, your Twitter, LinkedIn, MySpace.
Got it. Also, before we even start the show, I got to send a big shout out to Beyond Twilight at Twitter. She is crazy for RK. She was actually – I saw her retweet and sharing on the internet for this show. So much love to you for doing that. And a big shout-out to all the Sleepy Hollow fans out there. Yes, sir. So let's get into this. The Indispensable Man, Amy. How excited were you with this first episode?
Oh, why'd you gotta ask me that question?
Because I gotta know.
I wasn't.
What?
I wasn't. I was literally, I'm going to say maybe 5-10 minutes in, I was busy looking at my phone because I was bored.
I was bored.
I don't know what was happening, but I was bored. Even because I was watching it with my mommy, because that's what we do. We watch Sleepy Hollow together.
Right.
So I was like, she looks over at me. She's like, are you bored yet?
No way.
I was.
Jeez. Well, I guess, you know what? I've got some highlights. I've got some wow moments. I have to admit, though, I think you're right in the fact that there wasn't as much wow moments in the first episode compared to Jesus, like, hello at the end. So I'm just going to throw out some stuff and share with you some of my moments that I liked, and then we can kind of get your feedback. But I had a feeling you were going to be like, eh. So let's just kick it off. What did you think about Andy turning into some super demon killing machine?
That's creepy. That was like the most creepiest thing that I've ever seen. I thought, okay, when those bugs started, you know, going around him and all that good stuff, I was like, okay, he's getting ready to heal. Like, they're going to turn him back into
human.
Really?
That's what you thought? Like, these locusts are going to save the day.
What I was thinking kind of like you got a caterpillar, and then it makes a cocoon, and then it comes out to be this beautiful butterfly. Totally opposite effect on Andy.
So you really thought like God from above was like, he's trying to be good. And
No. I just thought like instead of him walking around creepy looking, I thought Moloch was going to make him walk around good looking.
Yeah, we were kind of off on that one, weren't we? Because he came out like I was watching it last night. I was like, whoa. That's one thing, and I just really, I say it all the time, but I am really impressed with the Sleepy Hollow special effects and the creatures and all the riddles and twists they have throughout, you know, because of history, George Washington history till now, and how they all get it together and everything else. So I'm really impressed. But when I saw those locusts coming down, I was like, okay. And then when he got all cocooned up and then he came out, I was like, oh, yeah, this is good. I wasn't sure if you were going to be feeling that part, if that was going to freak you out.
Oh, it did freak me out. I think it was more the head. The head is what freaked me out the most.
I was kind of wondering why that shape. Why do you think – because it was almost very alien. Because I was trying to figure if it was demon-like, and it didn't have horns. It didn't have – I don't know.
Well, what does a locust look like?
A locust is kind of like a grasshopper.
Does it have one of those funky heads?
I don't think so. So, I don't know. Maybe the listeners know that are listening.
My grandparents used to live on Locust Street.
That
don't tell me anything.
Yeah. Okay. Moving right along. Let's see what else. So, of course, in this episode, we find out that the Bible, Washington Bible, has directions for this secret, awesome map that can pretty much lead Crane and Abby to purgatory to pretty much save Katrina. So, What?
You know how, like, in the last episode, it said they wanted to know how Washington wrote that, you know, because he died 4 days before he wrote that.
Right.
Zombie Washington is kind of like a big thing. So I thought that was kind of cool that they brought that in there.
Hold on. Zombie Washington is a big thing? What do you mean?
Yeah, Google George Washington zombie.
Really?
Yes, Google it. Because there's a book on it, too, where George Washington is a zombie.
Like a real, like he came back as a zombie? Or is it like a book?
I think the book is George Washington Zombie Killer.
Okay.
I think that's what that is.
I know there was Abraham Lincoln the Vampire Killer.
Yeah, and that's a book, too. But I Googled it last night, and there was so many, like, I Googled pictures, images. There are so many images out there of George Washington as a zombie.
I'll have to do that. All right.
Kind of freaky.
I learned something new. Okay. I didn't know that, so I'm going to have to look that up when we get off the show today. Okay, I got it. Zombie Washington. Well, either way, yes, zombie Washington happened to be a zombie, and that's how he kind of woke up and did this map. He kind of drew it out, and this is the map they're trying to use to get in there. And, of course, this map, of course, is hidden. So they need to find directions, and, of course, it starts off with the Bible, and then we find out – well, we finally get to a little bit of the Reverend, what's his name, Naps, who dies in the first 30 seconds of the first episode?
Yeah, he was the very first one to get beheaded by the horsemen. No, I take that back. No, he wasn't.
Who's what? Was second, right? Wasn't Andy
was
first?
Second.
No. Sheriff Corbin was first.
Yes. Corbin was fourth.
And then, of course, and that's what I was a little disappointed, because I was like, this warlock just died so fast. So I was kind of excited that we were going to see a little backstory, but then it wasn't that cool of a backstory for me. So I don't know. I just
– it's kind of cool how they possessed the beads, or like how they did the protection of the
beads. Oh, put the hex on the beads?
Yeah.
That was cool. And that's what I'm leading up to. I mean, that was the cool part. It's just I really wish that we would have gotten some more of the warlock. Because that's what I was looking forward. Because, you know, normally you only see, like, witches. You don't get to see so many warlocks out on TV besides Harry Potter.
Because they're not that cute.
Whatever. So let's talk about this map. Okay? So I have a question here to ask you and the listeners. And I need to know, Amy. And, of course, we've got Twilight Chick 45 in the chat room right now. This map, of course, this whole episode is kind of like Abby's kind of telling, you know, Crane, like, okay, we're going to get this map, but just keep in mind, like, when it comes down to Katrina and saving the Earth, you're going to pick the right choice. And we kind of see where Crane's kind of, like, on the fence. My question to you is, your deepest, dark, your number one loved one is stuck in purgatory, Amy, and you have the chance to rescue them. Would you rescue them, or would you say, I can't right now because I got to save the world? That's what I want to know.
Okay. So, if I save them, is the world going to go to shit anyways? Because I don't think they'd be very happy with me bringing them back.
Yeah, the world is going to go into complete shit, yes. Apocalyptic, it's total mayhem, it's going to be nuts. What do you do? Twilight Chick 45.
Oh, God, I got to know. Why do you do that? Okay, she's going to save the world. Twilight Chick said, I'm going to save the world.
What
do
you
do? So, with her saying that she's going to save the world, I'm going to go after my loved one. Because I know the world's taken care of because she's going to save it.
Oh, that is such a weak, weak, weak answer.
Oh, gosh, you can't ask me that question.
I mean, I would have to agree. I would have to agree. You have to save the world. You have to save the world. Come on.
Oh, no. I don't know.
We know your priorities, Amy. We know where your priorities are.
Yeah. With my loved one.
Okay. Well, I guess both of y'all could just, I mean, in a nice way, you can just burn in purgatory then together.
Exactly.
Okay. That's cool. Well, all right.
As long as we're together.
That's
love.
All that matters. Oh, gosh. Whatever. So, of course, with this whole map thing, and of course, we talked about the hex beads, the Sin Eater.
I love that he's back.
Yes. I was very excited to see him in the commercials, and John Noble, who plays Henry Parrish, is just – He's just awesome. I was watching him again today, and I went through both episodes again, and he's just really good at being really nice and helpful and then being really twisted in a heartbeat. So I was glad for the scene eater. Now, when they were in the cemetery, did you notice Henry's cut that was on his hand when he got burned by the hex? Did you notice how it healed? Did you notice that?
Yes. It bubbled.
Yes. So did you, when you saw that, because I didn't notice that, I noticed that it healed, and I noticed that in the first, when I watched it last night, I was thinking to myself, okay, something's in him. Something from the beads went into him. And of course, after I watched it today again, I noticed, I'm like thinking to myself, oh, it all comes together.
I thought it was just, you know, because he eats sins. I was like, you know, he can obviously
heal himself like Wolverine.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I didn't catch it because at first I was like, oh, cool, he's healing. But is that something in him? But I mean, as we see what happens in the next episode, I was totally blown and I had no idea what was going on with that. Let's see. Oh, another part of one of my favorite parts during the cemetery. I think the cemetery is probably the most climatic for me, where the descent dust demons, they came out and attacked.
Yeah, and that was, why did they go after Henry? Why did the demons attack Henry?
They also went after Abby.
They went after Abby and Henry. They didn't go after Crane.
Mm-mm.
So, I want to know, do you think it was planned?
I think it was planned. Because now, I mean, because obviously everybody that's listening to this show right now and who's already seen it, I'm hoping that you're not listening to us first and then watching the show.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I think it was planned. I mean, now that I watched it the second time around, there were times where it seemed like the dust demon would stop right in front of them and not do anything. But it just seemed like the demons could have taken out Parrish quite a few times.
Yeah.
And really fast.
And when he got scratched, I was like, oh, gosh, now something bad's going to happen, because he was scratched by, you know, one of those thingamajiggers. So I was like, something was going to happen to him.
Yeah, I when he got scratched, I was like, okay, that's, but in the beginning, I was like, okay, you could have taken out Parrish a long time ago, but he is the Sin Eater. So maybe he has magical powers, which he kind of does in a sense. What did you think about Captain Irving? He's going through his own drama.
Oh, I know. I feel so bad for him. Like, he turned himself in because he knew that the DNA underneath his daughter's fingernails, or his daughter's DNA, was going to be all over that crime scene. And I feel so bad for him. How is he going to get out of this? That's what I want to know. How is he going to get out of this? Because nobody's going to believe him that his daughter was possessed.
Oh, no, no one's going to believe him. And that's my thing. I mean, and I even tweeted it out to Orlando Jones saying that he did an excellent job at, you know, because at first I was like, no, not Captain. And then I was thinking to myself, oh, he's got to take care of Rue, a.k.a. Macy. I call her Rue. Some people call her Macy. But I think it was the right call for him, you know. But what I didn't understand is, why didn't he tell his friend the truth? Like, why? I mean, would you have done that? Would you have just said, I'm turning myself in? Or you'd have been like, look, Mike, I got to tell you, the reason why is because this demon came in and possessed my daughter, and then the demon jumped into Morales and killed the other white dude, and I had nothing to do with it. I mean, would you have told the truth, or would you have just gone down like he did and said, screw it, I'm just going to take the blame for my daughter?
I don't think anybody's going to believe him. So I guess I would take the blame.
Interesting. I'm looking
at the chat. Nobody would believe you.
Twilight Chick says the same. I would do the exact same thing if I was in his place. So I think I would have tried. I think, cause, you know, especially when his boss told that other cop, get out of the room. And then he was like, hey, like, you're going to tell me some stuff? Like, tell me. And I think he had the opportunity, but I don't know why the captain didn't say anything. I would have tried or something.
I mean, he said that he's got to have more than evil. You know,
right?
Like, I can't go on evil.
Exactly.
So maybe if he would have, you know, said it, but I don't think they'd believe him. Like, because I mean, look how they went after Crane.
Yeah.
And then look how they went after that boy who was from the different colony. Oh,
from the colony, right.
Yeah. So, and they didn't believe that. So, I don't think they would believe him, but he's got to get out of this somehow.
Oh, yeah. He's in a, and I like Captain. So I'm like, okay, wait a second. Because don't get me wrong, because when that happened, and I was like, wait a second, I understand the world's coming to an end, but like, hey, is anyone going to look out for the captain?
Exactly. And I will go pick it if he's not on there for season two.
Twilight Chick 45 says they might have locked his sorry butt up. Yeah, I think they did. I think they, and that's the thing, because I think I saw something online where they showed a picture of him in a cell, but I didn't see anything on TV. So I don't know if we're going to see that maybe in the, when it comes back. I don't know. One of my other favorite parts was the I would have to say Washington's tomb. Very Indiana Jones like.
That was awesome. And what was funny when I, because I was watching with my mommy.
Uh-oh.
She is like, that's bullshit. And I was like, no.
What was bullshit to mom?
That, you know, they moved a rock and the door opened and then there's like this big old beautiful cave down at the bottom and it's a tomb. And I was like, no, mom. I was like, the Masons can do anything. There's probably stuff out there right now like that.
Yeah, and didn't your mom ever watch Indiana Jones?
Yeah, she loves it.
See? There you go. I was very impressed because I wasn't sure how that was going to be. And I was like, okay, there's a rock. What are we going to do here? We turn it and we get in there. I was like, oh, this is cool. Very booby trap. Very Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
So I was very happy with that. And then, of course, in that scene when they're trying to figure everything out and they finally find the map, good old Andy, super demon killing machine, comes in and decides to kill Abby. Now, I got a question for you. And, of course, I see Twilight Chick 45 in here as well. Do you think Andy would have killed Abby if Sin Eater wouldn't have touched him? Because he was pretty close.
Yeah.
Do you think he would have killed him?
Yeah.
Killed her?
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah.
No, maybe like, I love
no,
you.
No, she would have killed her.
She would have been dead. She would have
been dead. She would have been dead. But what I don't understand is Moloch is the one that sent him there.
Correct.
And yes, I'm going to be jumping into the second one just a teeny tiny bit.
Go for it.
And when the horsemen wanted to do something, you know, the headless horseman wanted to do something, and, you know, he was like, this is my plan. Moloch
right.
stepped in and, you know, ixed that plan.
Right.
Now, the other horseman is stepping in now. So why didn't Moloch jump in and nix that plan?
That is a good that's a good observation there, buddy. I couldn't tell you. Unless Andy is going on his own to kill Abby. Abby's not part of the plan. Crane is. So maybe that's why Andy just smacked the crap out of Crane and went straight after. Because you notice when he punched the rock, when Andy turned into that super demon killing machine and punched the rock fell right on Abby's yearbook picture. So
that was Abby's.
Oh, yeah, Abby's. So it was Abby's yearbook picture. So I think it was just homing on her. And I think also, I think Moloch kind of knew that you've had many opportunities to kill Abby and you let your heart, your feelings get involved. And I think that's when he was like, I'll show you how fight I would be in your army. And he was like, okay, you're going to get your chance. And then totally turned him in that thing and said, okay, now you're going to kill Abby. So
yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. Now the million-dollar question, listeners and Amy McCracken and, of course, Twilight Chick 45, is Andy dead? Will we see Andy? Because rocks only fell him. He's superhuman demon killing machine. Do you think he's dead?
I hope he's dead.
What?
I'm so tired of seeing him.
Wow.
I really am. I'm tired of him popping up. I mean, he doesn't really add anything to the storyline.
He adds love.
Lord.
As Jenny Fly would say, it's love. I'm assuming you don't care about that.
I don't care about love.
Oh, nice.
What's love got to do with it?
That's true. Like, yeah, maybe. Okay. Yeah, we're going into different. What is Twilight Chick saying? I am sick of him too, but he may be back. I agree. I think he's going to be back because you notice he was like, and then the rocks fell on top of him, and then you saw a different scene. So I think the dude's back. Is going to come back. I don't know. And let me see. Another moment for me. The burning of the map. Crane burns the map to purgatory.
I like that. See, I liked it. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. He's gonna go after Abby. But then 2 seconds later, he's drawing the freaking map again. And what I thought, because, you know, they had the whole cell phone in that scene. You know,
right.
He didn't want a flip phone. He wanted, you know, pretty little iPhone.
Right.
I saw, oh, he used that iPhone to take a picture of that
but
map.
He didn't. He has a photographic memory.
I wish I had a memory like that.
That's how Ichabod Crane runs stuff. So would you have done the same thing? Would you have burned the map or would you have kept it?
I like keeping things, so I would have kept it.
You would have kept it?
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing, because when I saw him light it, and then he noticed – now, I don't know if you noticed, because, you know, we've been talking about how we think in the first couple of podcasts, we've always been saying, like, what if Crane and Abby get together and all that stuff and everything else. For that moment when he lights it on fire and starts telling her stuff, like, let's do it together and – you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want you not to trust me. There seemed like a little glimmer of hope. Like, does he like me? And then he comes back and says, we're going to save Katrina and we're going to be in charge of our own destiny, and kind of switched it on her. Did you notice that? Or is it just me kind of going, she got a little hopeful there?
I think she got hopeful. And she's worried about, you know, Crane giving her to Moloch, you know, giving her soul to Moloch.
Right.
So, and then she even asked Henry if that's, you know, the prophecy.
Which Henry knew the whole time.
Yeah.
That should have been a little red flag there, which we see what happens in the next episode. But when he said that, he's like, oh, yeah, I knew the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, what? It's like, you sneaky little sin eater. But you're absolutely right. After he burns it, and then, of course, he starts remembering Katrina and all that crap, he decides to draw the map. And then that happens with the eerie Sleepy Hollow music. And, of course, then we see Moloch. And it goes to, and it shows him pulling somebody out. And then we have another rider. What did you think about the other rider? The other rider looks really cool. I like this. He looks like a knight.
Yeah, he does. He looks like a knight, like a black knight.
Yeah,
I like that.
I'm feeling the second rider, so I'm very happy. And then of course we see Henry Parrish wake up. He's from a dream. It's not good. So that's pretty much it for the indispensable man. I have to admit, probably this episode with everybody, I thought the cast did a really good job, but I really thought that John Noble as Henry Parrish did mm-hmm. great. And I think even. Because even last night during our award show that we were talking about, I think Keisha was a little upset that Nicole, who plays Abby, didn't win anything. But she really does do really a good job. I think that I really noticed her acting chops in this episode and, of course, the next episode, you know?
Yeah. Now, I just sent you a text, Mike.
Okay.
We have a caller.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm not going to screen it. I'm just going to go ahead and bring them in.
So we got a live caller.
Got a live caller.
Okay.
856. Hello? 856.
Hello?
Hello, you sure are a fat ass.
Yeah, yeah, I knew it.
Did he call me a fat ass?
Yeah, he called you a fat ass.
Well, you know, I do have a fat ass, P-H-A-T. That's how I roll here, right there. If you can hear me patting it up. So thank you for that caller.
Yeah, guess what?
What?
He called in with his phone number.
Sweet. We can give away it on Twitter soon.
Exactly.
Nice. And on that note, let's switch over to Sleepy Hollow Bad Blood. This was the second episode for the season finale on Fox. And this one here was crazy. Should we just get into the WTF moment?
Yes.
Holy crap balls. Henry Parrish is the bad guy. He's the second horseman.
He's not just the second horseman.
Nope.
He is their son.
Jeremy.
Hey, okay, now that takes me all the way back
mm-hmm.
to me thinking that he was Moloch's son.
Oh, don't even start that crap again.
Because what? He even says Moloch is his daddy.
Well, yeah, because the dad saved him. That's why.
Yeah, because Moloch saved him. So, yeah, Moloch is
Well, but you know what? And let's talk about that real quick, because, you know, he's – I mean, I thought leading up to that scene was just awesome. Like, literally last night I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I had to stop and rewind it. I'm like, am I – and then you hear how Henry Parrish is, like, explaining, like, all these subtle hints that he had been saying and hinting, and then they start showing some of the clips, and I'm like, dude, this was all over our faces. Like, this was right in front of my face, and I had no clue. But, yes, he's the horseman, the second horseman. He's Jeremy, and he's pissed off at his parents. And this is what I didn't understand. Do you think he has the right to be mad at Ichabod Crane? I mean, Crane didn't even know he was born. He didn't even know he had a son.
No. I mean, he says, Daddy, you left me. He's really got daddy issues. But he was like, you left me. Hello, he died. I mean, yeah. He died trying to, you know, give people freedom.
Exactly. I just didn't understand why he was so mad. But maybe it's because of Moloch and his evil ways and what's been going in the hatred. And just, I don't know. Because I can understand why he was a little upset at Mom a little bit, mm-hmm. at Katrina. But
because her covenant killed him.
Yeah, but that wasn't even her. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why. I'm wondering if when the season comes back, if there's going to be a chance for Jeremy, a.k.a. Henry Parrish, to kind of like Darth Vader. Like, we know he's evil, but, like, there's still a glimmer of hope inside him. I'm wondering if he's gonna like, turn on Moloch and help. Because he's powerful. He's a powerful warlock.
He's more than powerful. He is super powerful.
Now, we have Twilight Chick 45 saying that the whole thing threw me in for a loop. I did not see that coming. And then she put, no, no, no. He has a lot of issues to deal with. And I'm assuming we're talking about Henry Parrish,
mm-hmm.
right, Twilight?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I just didn't. And then I did like the fact that in that one scene there that we got to see my Gollum. I miss my Gollum.
Oh my goodness, get over it, Mike. Get
I like
over
my
it.
Gollum.
What I really liked about this episode was Abby. You know, listening to what is his name, the sheriff.
Corbin. Sheriff
Corbin, listening to Corbin's tapes, because I really like that. I really wish we got a whole lot more from Corbin. Hopefully next season we get, like, deeper and deeper in what he's done and stuff, because I really like when they do that.
Well, you know, speaking of those tapes that, and I did you say Abby or you say Jenny? Because Jenny was one that was listening to the tapes.
Oh, I did say Abby. I meant Jenny. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think if you go to Fox.com and you go, and if I think, because I saw when I was looking for clips for the show, I went on there, and I believe I saw something there that said the lost tapes of Sheriff Corbin. So there might be something that you can go on there. And there's also, like, a secret map of the town as well. So if you go to fox.com/ – and then I guess if you look for Sleepy Hollow. But if you want some of those tapes, you might want to go in there, because I think they actually play some of the tapes back.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
check that out.
So what else? What were some of the other moments? I'm trying to think, because everything really just came to the end. The spell, I know
yeah.
that.
Okay, well, you know, they, Abby, oh, wait, let's, Crane got new clothes. That is a, oh my gosh, moment. Crane got new clothes. I thought that was hilarious, because I thought he was dreaming.
Right.
But he was in the middle of a reenactment.
So, you know what, I would expect you to say something like that, because you're about his appearance. You're a fan of his appearance.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to throw the funny stuff in. You just can't have, you know,
no.
Henry, who you loved because he was a sin eater, now is a bad guy.
yeah.
But I thought it was funny because Jenny's like, really? You got the same outfit?
It that's why I'm kind of like on Jenny's side. Like, yeah, Amy.
But okay. But Crane says, you know, it's not the outfit. It's the way the man wears it.
See, it's funny how you don't remember all the crazy WTF moments or like the violent part. I'm like, remember that? And you're like, no. But then you know every line when it comes to like. No,
I just remember. I remember somebody. It was Jersey. It was Jordan. He said something like that to me. I think that's why I remember that.
Let's move right along. Let me ask you a question, and we talked about it briefly at the end of this one, and you brought it up about how technically he burned the map, and then in order to – he just couldn't help himself. He wants to save Katrina. He drew the map. At one moment during that part where he tells Abby that he has the map, that he drew it, she seems pretty pissed off. And then, of course, she's like, well, I'm minuscule a little bit. Would you have been mad? Because that seemed like an important lie. Do you think that Crane was really going to say, I wasn't going to use this map without your help, with your approval? Or do you think that was do you think it was kind of sneaky?
It was sneaky. It was sneaky. Crane was sneaky. I don't care about his accent, his beautiful hair, and that beautiful face of his. I would have been pissed. I'd be like, okay, you save the world on your own. Goodbye.
Yeah, I think that was a kind of like a little big lie right there. Like what if you wouldn't have, you know, like you're lucky we needed it because we need the map to stop the second rider. But what if not? Would have Crane told her? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I would hope he would. And so far, his track record, he is. But I don't know. I don't know.
She's not a very good detective. She's really not. And I don't think she would have made it in the FBI if she just would have went straight to the FBI.
Really?
I mean, hello? The second horseman has been with him for a while.
Hello? You don't know stuff like that. Give her.
I'm not the detective. She is.
I don't know why you're giving my Abby a hard time. You know, your Ichabod Crane buys a new shirt and oh my gosh.
No, I'm not going to stop there. And Crane, how do you not know that this is your son? Yes, you've never seen him, but you should have fatherly instincts.
No, okay. If it was just a regular baby, yeah, just like Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. They knew. But this is the Sin Eater who's probably gotten so much evil sins in him. I mean, he's kind of tainted. You know, he's some damaged goods. And I that's what I'm wondering, if there's any sense of little Jeremy in him anymore.
But he's really not a Sin Eater, because he's telling Crane and them, you know, I just had to play the part.
I don't know. I think he eats sins, but he's also a badass warlock, and he's also very evil. I don't know. I'm just thinking.
Can't he just go back to being Henry?
I liked Henry. But I do have a complaint about this episode. And I think I haven't complained about any of these episodes. And I don't know if anyone's going to agree with me, the listeners. I don't know. I don't know if you guys will. But what was up? Okay. Jenny finds, you know, I did like the fact that Jenny was more sarcastic and funny in this episode, which was cool. I know that it seems like she's a better investigator than her sister.
Definitely.
She's able to figure out stuff. But okay, so when she finds out the clue and she's like, holy crap balls, the sign, I've got to go to, and then she calls her sister and says, the sign is literally like a sign, like don't believe, and then bam! Shotgun blast, and then who is it? It's so badass. It's the Headless Horseman. I've been a fan of the Headless Horseman since little Mike. But my thing was to you guys, did you notice? Okay, one shotgun shot to the windshield. Oh, my gosh. Jenny can't see. And then all of a sudden, the Bronco, not like a Ford Fiesta or a little Earth car. No, a freaking Bronco to stop sideways, and then he shoots the tire and sends the truck rolling 15 times. I have to complain. That was boo-boo.
Well, this is what happened, Mike.
No, there's nothing you can say about it. There's nothing you can say about it because really, honestly, he shot. Yeah, and that was honestly, when I was watching it last night and even again today, I was like, really, Sleepy Hollow people? Like, you've done – and that was my only complaint. Don't
they
get me
probably
wrong.
Just had an extra, you know, extra meal laying around and was like, let's do this.
God, that was dumb. That was real, because that just, and I know some people that, I know my friends would be like, okay, dumb, okay, Mike, you're a dumbass because you don't believe that, but you believe a head of the horseman's running around shooting things with the demons. Okay, no, and I agree with y'all. I know it sounds kind of weird and kind of contradicting myself, but that was a little over the top scene. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, really? Like, one little, it just popped the tire and totally knocked out Jenny and killed the car. Like, that first shotgun blast should have taken her head off.
Well,
you would think
with the window, but you know, they got that window where it doesn't really shatter.
Oh, stop sticking up for her. It's not gonna work.
But she got an old Bronco too. So.
Stop it. I even watched in slow mo. He shot the tire and it flipped over 15 times.
But was she still moving?
No, she wasn't. She was completely out. Jenny was out. We don't even know. This episode ends and Jenny.
No, but I mean, was the car still moving? when he hit it? Because if the car was still moving forward.
It was driving. He shot the windshield. She turns and goes sideways. So now she's looking at the outside of her car. And whatchamacallit, there she looks to her right or left or whatever and sees the headless horseman. He shoots the tire, not her, shoots the tire and sends the car rolling 15 times.
Poor Jenny.
No, poor me, because I was like, this is whack. Couldn't believe it. But of course, you know, the ending is just awesome, so it fixes it up. But, yeah, I just had to complain. I think that's the only time you've ever heard me complain about this show.
Yeah,
I've never complained. I love the show, and that part right there, I was like, what else? Abby and Jenny share a moment. That was pretty – that was some good acting chops right there.
Yeah, you know, you left me, blah, blah, blah. We lived in this little dollhouse, and, you know, Mama was drinking, talking to the silverware. Daddy was drinking, talking to the TV.
I like it. I think they're good. I think they're good together. So hopefully they don't
– And if you're not back, I'm coming to find you.
But right now, Jenny's she's knocked out cold in the middle of the street.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen? What'd you think about the purgatory? The whole
purgatory freaked me out.
What'd you think of the people, the two people that looked like they were like in black tars crawling, and like that's one thing I like about it.
I've seen a pirate.
A pirate?
Yeah, because I was looking at the people because they were the people that were in purgatory were like different people. There was a guy carrying an anchor, and then
I think that was it looked like a key. But it could have been an anchor.
It looks like
anchor.
An anchor to me.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Well, hold on real quick. Before we get into the purgatory, into the hell, Twilight Chick 45 says, I still can't understand why the Headless Horseman shows up during the day. I thought he could only show up at night. Confused. Hey, isn't that true?
That is true.
How did he just show up? So now we're all stumped. So the listeners out there that are like super hardcore Sleepy Hollow fans, I thought that he couldn't come out during daylight. Right?
That's what, yeah.
Oh, no. I know what it was. I know the eclipse. The eclipse.
That is right.
Daytime, but the moon was covering. There you go, Twilight Chick 5.
It was the eclipse.
Eclipse. Well, I was about to get another. I was about to go right now. It's like pop tire. Okay, let's get back to purgatory. Hell, I thought that was great. I loved the creatures, the people. I love that chick that had no face. I love how they make the people kind of like almost very choppy as they're filming or they're kind of, the way they move, their movements. Yeah, high five. High five to the Sleepy Hollow writers and directors. I think they did a great job on that stuff. Very happy. Excuse the helicopter flying across.
I was like, uh-oh, the Headless Horseman's coming to get Mike.
Yeah, there's a lot of military stuff above me, and that's why it sounds like a freaking helicopter and army base here. Let's see what else. But yeah, that purgatory, I have to admit, for being on TV – on Fox, that was pretty. I mean, I've seen some good stuff on Supernatural, but this whole purgatory version of hell was really.
It was nice. It was really cool. I liked it.
Freaky. One moment that I wanted to bring up to you girls, and I wanted to see if you also saw it. Another moment that this was the first episode that I've ever. I kind of wanted to like. I didn't want to slap Katrina, but I wanted to kind of pop her in the head a little bit, just for the fact that, you know, the only way we can get Katrina out is if someone stays there. Did you notice, was it just me and the listeners, and of course, Twilight Chick 45, did you notice that when Ichabod Crane was hugging Abby and saying it was going to be all right and don't forget about the bond and don't forget what we've gone through, did you notice the little look that Katrina gave like, hey.
Get your hands off my man.
I'm married to you and you're hugging this chick. Like, did you see that? She had to have noticed that there's some kind of bond there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this whole situation here, if Crane gets out and Abby gets out and everything else, they've shared a moment. I'm telling you, it's going to get closer for them.
It's
I know that some
totally
of y'all want
gonna
them
be,
together.
Yeah. Well, I don't want them together because once they get together, it's going to be a triangle. I'm so tired of the triangle love relationships that they put on television.
Hey, this triangle is going to be better than freaking Elena and Damon and Stefan.
God, can we just kill Elena, Daphne, and Damon?
Let's not talk about that show right now.
Moving on.
So do you think there was a little jealousy there with Katrina?
Yeah, I do.
So she noticed?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatchamacallit, Twilight Chick says, okay, adult moment. Yes, I did. Amen to that. To the triangles. Amen to triangles. God, these helicopters. Also big shout out to guest 2298 that's here in the chat.
Oh, that's our prank caller. His phone number is going to go out in a little while.
Oh, really? Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. Let's see what else. And let me see. I think that was pretty much it for the moments. I mean, we've already talked about how Henry Parrish is the second horseman, which is going to be freaking nuts. And Abby's stuck in the dollhouse, which could be a good thing because she's protected from Moloch, but then it's a bad thing because
she can't
help.
Get out.
Yeah, she can't help.
I mean, okay, how is Abby going to get out of purgatory? How is Crane going to get out of that box?
I think what's going to happen is, my opinion, I really think that the two girls are going to help. The young Abby and Jenny are going to help her get out. That's the only way. They've got to figure out a way that they're going to be able to get him out of there.
Yeah.
And that's the only way, I would think, because...
I mean, they can't call on... Oh, Crane's got a cell phone. I wonder if it works in a grave like that.
You know what? He does have signal. He could, you know what? He could say, I'm in this hole. Wouldn't that be funny to see, like, the big climatic partner, like, bling, 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 bling. Where are you? I'm in my Jeremy's coffin. And then, bam, saved. I think that would be
yeah.
too But that would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious. But who's going to save him? Because Orlando's character is in jail. You know, he was handcuffed being walked out. Henry is not going to save him because Henry put him there. Katrina's now with the Headless Horseman.
It's going to be Abby.
It's going to be Abby.
Twilight Chick 45 says, I just can't wait to see how everything gets out. Everyone gets out of the situation. And I would totally agree because we got Abby in the dollhouse. We got Crane in the coffin. And Katrina is knocked out and hanging out with Abraham, a.k.a. the Headless Horseman.
Yeah.
So that's where the episode ends, and of course it doesn't return until fall of 2014. So we've got a ways to go.
Fall 2014.
Yep.
So we won't be able to see it until like September?
Probably September, October. October sounds pretty good. Halloween for Sleepy Hollow, that's what I'm thinking.
What are we going to do with our time?
I know
what we're going to do.
There's other shows.
We got The Following.
Okay, and that's a different show. So that's it. That's it for Sleepy Hollow, The Indispensable Man, and, of course, Bad Blood. Overall, what did you think of – overall, together, two-hour, what did you think of the Sleepy Hollow season finale?
It was a really good season finale. It really was. It was one that, you know, kept you on edge. And it's not one that has you – it's got you guessing, but it doesn't have you like, oh, my God, are they dead? Are they alive? It's now you're just guessing, how are they going to get out of this?
Agree. So from a rating, let's say letter wise, A, B, C, D, E, F, what do you give it for season finale?
I give it a B.
Really?
Yes.
I probably would have gone with an A. If that tire wouldn't have blown and the car would have rolled 15 times, it would have got an A+. I was very happy. I was really, you know, I know that you weren't a fan of The Indispensable Man, the first episode. As much as you were with Bad Blood. I really liked all of them, and I liked how the build-up. And then definitely the end of Bad Blood, just my mouth dropped, and I was like, holy crap, he's been giving me signs. And every time they would show a clip of him doing it, I was like, I remember when he said that, sneaky sin-eater. So I was very impressed.
Woo, Mike. Tell the military base to calm shit down. You just went like, oh, weird over there.
I just don't. I don't care if they're not a fan. So that's pretty much it. So we're pretty much done. And so I'm looking forward to the fall of 2014. So if you want to, for all the other listeners that are didn't get a chance to listen live, but you're listening to the archive, we have all the other shows for Sleepy Hollow there. So if you haven't started watching Sleepy Hollow and for some reason you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I might try it out, watch it and then come back. And if any of you other listeners out there have fans of Sleepy Hollow, you can always tell them to come to Variety Radio Online right here on Blog Talk Radio and listen to some of these shows and some of the other shows that we talk about. And that's pretty much it.
Yep. That's it for us. It's
cool.
Been a good season.
Exactamundo. Do you want to let anybody know your the links, social media for you?
Social media, you can find us on Facebook at Variety Radio Online, and our website is thevro.com.
Sweet. And you can check me out on Twitter at Mike the Movie Guy. Also Instagram, and check out my blog. All the goodies are there. iWatchMike.com. And once again, shout outs to all the fans who love Sleepy Hollow like us and who listen to the podcast. And of course, shout outs to Twilight Chick 45 for being in the chat room. I see the other person left. Who cares? So, and that's pretty much it. So I think we're done.
Yep. Yay. Oh, wait. Let me play it. I had to.
Thank you very much for the sleep. Yeah, that's it. We're out of here.
Bye, guys.
Bye.